This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this January 4th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And I do really appreciate you being with me. This is Invest Talk. We talk about investments. It's a conversation. We try to talk about things that are important to you, important investing concepts, tried and true principles that hold up over time. It's true that today's investing universe is much more complicated. That is very true. And, you know, than it was just 10 years ago. It's very true. But the same laws of investment apply. Same rules, same common sense approach. It all still applies. Now today we're going to talk for a few minutes to the beginner. The goal, assemble a collection of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds and real estate that generates annual income at the lowest possible risk. We have 10 steps to successful income investing for beginners. Now we have a link on the website, an article by Joshua Keenan from thebalance.com that can help you with that. And we're going to be talking about it. But of course, you're the principal driver of our topics, not me, not articles, nothing like that. You are. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. So let's get to the phones right now. We try to answer your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions on the 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mike from Washington. I have enjoyed your program for a long time now. I really appreciate your insights and your understanding of the market and financial business. I have a quick question. If a man is about 50 years old and he still does not have his own home or purchasing one, and not too far off from retirement, right? Should he be putting his money in the stock market or putting his money just in some kind of safe savings system like a CD or whatnot? Or should he do both simultaneously? So if you could give me some kind of answer on that, I'd appreciate it, because I have a son that is in that situation, and I'm a little bit concerned about his interest in the market because of the way the market has been going now, because you never can tell when it can turn. So thank you for your help, and I'll listen to your answer on the program. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, if you're 50 years old, you haven't bought a house or doesn't own a house, then maybe you shouldn't buy a house, because if you've gone this long without one, maybe you shouldn't. Also, you have to consider, where are you going to retire? You don't want to buy a house where you are now, where you're working, if that's not where you want to retire eventually. So you have to make some cold, hard decisions. What's my plan for the future? Am I going to live here or there? If I'm going to live here, if I'm going to live where I am, now the question is, why didn't you buy a house before? You must not have a desire. You do not have to own your house. You do not have to have a home to retire to. You can rent till you die. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that per se. So not having any more facts than what you give me, I think you dollar cost average into the stock market for the next 15 years. He's 50 years old now, 65, maybe he wants to retire around that age. Whatever that retirement age is, if it's 65, dollar cost average into the stock market. Yes, it's pricey right now, but you just keep doing it over time, you'll be fine. And that's assuming that your son's not really that interested in buying a house. I mean, he's not interested in owning a home. And at 50 years old, I'm just making that assumption because of age, which could be totally wrong. I'd have to talk to him. Thank you for the question, though. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. A relative new approach to wealth management is goal-based investing. Setting up goals. It emphasizes investing with the object of reaching a specific target, such as buying a house, save for a child's education, or building a nest egg for retirement. Instead of just comparing returns to a benchmark, so what happens, the difference is you not only invest, but you also save for that particular goal. You set up your objectives. You put money aside for those objectives, and then you work toward those objectives. Now, maybe you're getting close to retirement now. Maybe you have a low tolerance for risk now. Well, then you got to think about maybe allocating investments into income-yielding positions, stocks, bonds, REITs, income building. I mean, that might be what you're looking for. If you're a younger investor, you don't care about that, really. You probably want to take the risk and want to be in the stock market. So you're not looking for income building. You're a different kind of investor. So, you know, it depends on your time frame, the type of person you are, and what your goals are going to be. So it's never an easy, straightforward answer. It's really a process of discovering what it is that you want. Now, there's also different kinds of strategies to reach these goals. You know, so, you know, when I talk about strategy, I'm talking about method of investing that has been working over long term. So you can establish your goals and then develop a strategy to reach those goals. So if you want to read more about this kind of approach, you can go to our book section at investtalk.com. You'll see a book there that describes, by Peter Lynch, that describes this very thing we're talking about. So just go to the books section, browse in there, look for books by Peter Lynch. He has very good books. You should read all his. They're very easy to read. So how do you approach income investing in a way that will avoid the traps that can trip you up? Well, we'll look at that and today. It's going to be one of our main talking points. And then I want to discuss, you know, there's this January effect. I want to talk about that in a little more detail. And I want people to be realistic about it. It's called the January effect. And then reasons why you should go for gold in 2018. It's an interesting article, and it has several reasons why gold is supposed to take off. Now, don't necessarily, this is an article I'm referring to. I'm not a big gold bug myself, but I do want to be fair and give the arguments for gold, you know, to everybody out there, and you can decide for yourself. And then pluses and minuses for stocks in 2018, for the entire market, just overall pluses and minuses, things that will drive the stocks up, things that may drive the stocks down for 2018. And that's what I'm going to talk about. The Dow was up 152 today. The Nasdaq was only up 12. And did you notice the Nasdaq was up really big compared to the Dow in the last 2 days? And now today the Dow went up. The S&P, the broader market, was up only 11 today. But that's not bad. You know, it's a good positive first week for the market. Now, it'll be all up till tomorrow, but I think we're going to have a positive first week. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. If you live in the San Jose area, I'd love to meet you and talk about your retirement portfolios. I do these one-hour sessions with individual investors just about every month in the Bay Area, and I will be there February 7th. February 7th. If that date works for you, just go to investtalk.com and look for the Invest Talk tab and then portfolio review. Just get a hold of me. My number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Austin from Texas. I have a question about Next Era Energy Partners, ticker symbol NEE. It has fallen a little bit recently with all the other utility stocks, and I'm interested in buying into it. I have no position in it as of right now, but I would like to open a position, and I wanted to get your take on what a good buy-in price would be. Thanks a lot.
Okay, this is NextEra Energy Inc., not Partners, Inc., NextEra Energy Inc., NEE, engaged in generation, transmission, distribution of sale of electricity to 5 million people in Florida. So it's a utility, very solid company. It's $71 billion in size, so it's pretty big. It's pretty pricey still, though. I don't think it's cheap, but it's very steady. The earnings are going to go up 9%. This year, and then, well, actually 9% last year. It still hasn't reported the year end yet. And then another 7% this year in 2018. Sales are flat to slightly increasing. So it's a utility. It's 12% ROE is 12%. Cash flow is very strong at $13.38 a share. The PE is around 20, 22. The 5-year range is 15 to 24. So I think I'd be waiting. It is rolling down. It was $158 just a couple 3 weeks ago. Now it's $151. I think it could easily go to the 145 area. So $5 more on the downside. That is also about where the 200-day moving average comes in, 144, 145. So there's where the support will probably come in, somewhere in the low 140s. And I would wait for it to turn sideways and then buy it when it starts back up. Utilities usually work very good in a late economic cycle. Or the beginning of a recession, they hold up very well, usually. So why is this rolling over now? Well, maybe because we're not late in our economic cycle now. Now that there's been the tax, you know, the tax, just new tax law, federal tax law, hurts utilities because it makes the economic cycle longer, the upside longer. Anyways, 10 successful tips or steps to income investing. Income, that's where you're looking for income, people. Income. What's income? Dividends, yield, savings yield, the money that comes in by holding on to investments. Rent, okay, where do you get that from? REITs, real estate investment trusts, are very good. You can buy limited partnerships, as long as they're public limited partnerships, not private limited partnerships. Those are much more risky because those are all income drivers that can drive income to you. And even within them, there's risk factors that you got to consider. So when you're talking about income investing, you got bonds. Bonds produce great income, but they don't produce any capital gains. I don't want to say that per se because you could. There are situations where you can get some capital gain. How about preferred stocks for income? Preferreds, they pay like bonds. You can develop a portfolio that takes in any one or several of these things and produce an income. And really, we were talking to a client today, Justin and I, about replacing his income. That's what he was concerned. Well, I need to replace my income, and how can I do that? And that was the discussion. Well, how do you do it? How many more years do you have before you have to replace it and then start building portfolios to do that eventually? It just takes, it's not rocket science, but it does take thought. And if you don't have the knowledge, you need to talk to people about it, like me, people like me. You know, how do I do that? Remember, you don't want to run out of money when you're in retirement. Now, there's a rule of thumb, which is a pretty good rule of thumb. Figure about 4 to 5% of your nest egg that you can take out every year, and chances are extremely high you'll never run out of money. 4 to 5%. But then it all depends on what you're investing in. For instance, I have a balanced income portfolio that produces almost 4% yield from the portfolio. In other words, that income is 4%. So you can take out 4% and it wouldn't affect the portfolio at all. See, so you want to build that. It takes a little effort and time, but you do. That's what you want to do. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. It's like the prevent defense in football. Capital preservation. Now, that's a strategy. There are always strategies for protecting the money you have available. There's strategies to do that. You know, besides just fixed income and strategy, but it does protect capital. But maybe you're looking for, you know, to run up the score before you have that prevent defense. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. This is Patrick from DeKalb, Illinois. Love the show. I got a question about Sabra Health. It's S, B as in boy, R-A. It's a healthcare REIT. I bought into it, 6-9 months ago. Shortly thereafter, they merged with another healthcare REIT, and basically, it's not been doing very well. The dividend yield is significant, but it hasn't been doing very well since the merger. I've looked at the financials. There's nothing there that screams an issue to me, but I thought I'd call and ask your opinion. Thank you, and I love the show. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is Sabra Healthcare REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, SBRA. It's a REIT that owns 177 healthcare-related properties in 38 states. So I like the sphere. I like the space. 177 healthcare-related facility. It's going to make $2.45 in 2017 and then $2.50 in 2018 per share. And a REIT has to pay 90% of its earnings out in a dividend. And it's an $18.76 stock. That means it's about a 9 to 10% yield if they make their earnings, even next year. They paid 9.5%, 9.6% the last year. So you say, well, that's really darn good. And it is. And the P.E. ratio is 8, and the range is 7 to 20. Now, what could be wrong? Why has it fallen from $27 down to $18, $19? Well, these are some very good lessons to learn. One thing, if you read some of the little footnotes, you'll find that it's been selling some of the properties off. For instance, even just this month, they just announced they sold 20 facilities leased to Genesis Healthcare in Kentucky for $103 million. Well, they made $111 million in, so what that does, what that tells you is, are their earnings the high as they are because they're selling off facilities? Because you run out of facilities to sell off. So you want to make sure that the earning is organic and not because you're selling assets. That's the biggest fear. That it does have a lot of debt because it's a REIT. They borrow money and to buy properties, but they're selling properties. So I'd have to look into that much closer. And another thing that I don't think is very good is their return on equity is only 7%, which is very low. Now, the stock has fallen and it's basing. That's a good thing. So if you own the stock, you don't sell it, not while it's basing. If it breaks below the base it has established, which is like, I don't know, about 18, it's hard to read it, but 1825 or so, it's at 1876 now, then you start to worry, maybe you get out. But it's been doing this since middle to beginning of November, going sideways. That's called basing, and that's technically that means maybe this is as far as it's going to go down. But I'd look into make sure that their cash flow is coming from operations, not from selling off properties. That must be a concern. Sometimes it's pretty hard to determine that, by the way, because it buys some other company and they sell off some of their properties that are weak. And, you know, is it a good idea? Bad? It's not as simple as it sounds. It's kind of difficult. But I can tell you this, it looks inexpensive and it is a company that I would look at closer. That's what I can tell you. I would look at it closer. It's not a bad thing right now. Okay, again, that's Sabra, S-B-R-A, Sabra Healthcare REIT. Sabra Healthcare REIT. Okay, the January effect. January effect. Remember, I talked about this, and I'm going to stop talking about it because I'm a little concerned. Remember I said, you know, there's an old saying, as the first day goes for January, as goes the week, as goes the month, thereby is what the year would do. Well, that is just an old saying. It's not a fact. Now, it happened to be true in 2017, last January. But that doesn't have any statistical basis. It's just a saying. And there was a recent article pointing out that it is just a saying, and it's just as good as if you threw a dartboard at buying or selling based on what January does. So do not take that saying as gospel for the year. Don't, because the statistics, it's not statistically valid. Now, if you want a statistically valid phenomena, you could say the last 3 months and the first 3 months of the year are better than the middle 6 months of the year. And that's been consistent pretty much for years and years and years. Not always true, but pretty consistent. Doesn't mean that the middle 6 months goes down. It just means that the other 6 months go up higher. That's what that means. And it's not always true, but it is statistically valid because of all the years that they have to look at that. But the old saying about January effect, don't buy it. It doesn't have any validity. Coming up next on Invest Talk, how index funds and ETFs cost more than you think. That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. But what's your topic today? My direct line between 4 and 5 Pacific time is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. The process of investing is more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course, and along the way, there are issues about taxes and then estate planning and on and on. KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing your money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person could possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off decisions, important decisions. Most times, that's not productive. KPP Financial's philosophy is the more their clients know, the more successful they'll be, and the more predictable their future will be. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions. Now let's continue with the podcast. This is Invest Talk, a place to meet and talk about your money, how to keep more of it, and how to make it grow. Bring your questions to Steve. He's here right now. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Anthony in Hayward. How you doing, Anthony?
Good. Hi, Steve. Happy New Year's.
Thank you.
I have a speculative play, possibly, that I wanted to run by you.
It's, okay.
Ticker symbol XXII.
Okay.
And,
now, you started it off with calling it speculative. Now, that is a very good description, Anthony. You're going to speculate here. This is not really an investment.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm trying to see. I mean, it's interesting because it's got a play with the marijuana angle. It's a company is 22nd Century Group, but there it seems from my research, it seems it's right now it's mainly a tobacco company, and they could produce these low nicotine cigarettes. So of course I'm looking at it from the marijuana aspect.
What?
Wondering what the charts look like.
How would the marijuana legalization or non-legalization? Yeah, first of all, legalization in California, but Jeff Sessions just said, you know, that they're going to get, from a federal level, tougher on those states that are passing. So when you say, because 22nd Century, it's XXII is a simple, is a very small company, but it's focused on reducing tobacco harm and smoking cessation. In other words, they're trying to get rid of smokers. Kind of a weird of a business trying to drum itself out of business, you know that? If you think about it, what if they're really successful?
Right.
You
know, but then I think about like e-cigarette.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
There's still like a following, you know, people still liking to do that. And you know what? A lot of times it still looks cool. There's the cool factor.
Yeah, I know.
That plays in, right?
I don't think it's ever going to go away completely. I really don't. Anthony, I'm just saying that the business model is one built on the premise that they're trying to reduce their sales by cutting out, you know what I'm saying? It just seems, you know, looking at it from that point of view. Now, let me tell you the bad things. It's never made money. Going all the way back to 2010, it's lost money every year. You know, and you can say this, sales are slowly growing over the years. You know, they were up about 46% from a year ago, but two quarters ago, they were down 26% from a year ago. So it's kind of that way. It's not, a steady grower. The stock has gone from under a dollar to now $3.11. And I wouldn't buy it because it doesn't make any money. So you're buying it because of the momentum.
Right.
You know, and the momentum might continue because their products probably fit a good narrative about helping reduce tobacco dependency. And that means that, you know, if people got it in their head that this is a good place to be, they'll drive the stock higher. But it looks like it might have just hit a lot of overhead resistance. This is as high as it's been a couple days ago. And last October, it reached this same position and then fell off. So I think you're probably going to see, from a charting point of view, it's probably going to retrace back down to about the $2.20 area, because this, it has to break through this $3.40, and it's at $3.11. If it breaks through on up, it's now upward momentum continuing. Right now, it's hitting resistance. So you got to wait till it breaks through or wait for a pullback if you're going to trade it.
And but, if I was to wait for a pullback, like around the low $2.20,
yes,
low, that might be a good play.
That would be a good play to buy it, and hopefully it goes back to $3 again. Mm-hmm. But from an investment point of view, I would not invest in this stock because it doesn't make money. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Anthony. I appreciate the call. So I was just chart reading, seeing what it's doing on a chart and follow the pattern. Let's go to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
Hi, Steve. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Steve, I have a question on ticker PPC. It's I think trading near 52-week low, and I went to their website, and it seems like their products are very good. I just want to know it's a good buy at this point. Thank you.
Is this Pilgrim's Pride Corporation?
Yeah.
Okay. Pilgrim's Pride, it's a pretty decent-sized company, $7.3 billion, produces prepared and fresh chicken in the U.S., Mexico, and Puerto Rico for the food service industry. They produce chicken, chickens. That's what they do. Okay, what's the value? Well, it looks like a pretty decent value for a company that's going to make $2.94 next year and made $2.94 this year, 2018. And 2017, they made $2.85, and it's a $29 stock. So that means it's a 10 PE, and it's a 5-year range is 5 to 15, so it's kind of right in the middle, but it has a very good return on equity of 41%. Sales are increasing the last three quarters. They're accelerating their sales last three quarters. I think that this is, you know, it's fallen off its high of $38 about a month ago down to $29. I think it's going to start to find support right around $28 to $29, right in this area. It's at $29.47 today. So between $20 and $29 looks like a lot of strong support right there. And, Jay, if it falls to that point, which is, you know, not very far for now, or if it starts to move up from here or base, it'd be a good place to buy. Okay, to buy.
All right.
But don't be too anxious. Still falling. So you want to wait till it stops falling or shows you at least that this is support where it is. It's got another dollar or two on the downside, in my opinion, before it finds really good support. Okay?
All right.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. PPC, Pilgrim's Pride Corporation, everybody. Here's an investing term you should know. What is a stop limit order? When you buy and sell stocks, stop limit order. What is that? A stop limit order is an order placed with a broker or, you know, with your online broker, it doesn't matter, that combines the features of a stop order with those of a limit order. A stop limit order will be executed at a specific price or better after a given stop price has been reached. Once the stop price means get out, I'm stopping out, I want out. Once the stop price, let's say the stock falls down to a certain price that you say, this is the price I want out, and it goes there or below, you're getting out. Because the next trade could be, you know, 50 cents or a dollar below your stop limit, your stop order. That's why I put a stop limit order. Okay? Specific price or better. Okay? You can see a more detailed definition from our friends at Investopedia. Stop, price, or better. A stop limit order will execute a specific price.
If you have a
888-99-CHART.
If you have a question on our talking point today, there's a link to a related article on our website homepage. Or you can put your question in writing. To do that, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Justin, and they will get back to you.
888-99-SHORT. Okay, 7 reasons why investors should go for gold in 2018. Now, I've said often enough that I'm not a big gold person, but, you know, if there's opportunities in any investments, I'm going to look at it, okay? Okay, so, but why would 2018 be a time to be looking at gold? One of the reasons is it's been basing. Take a look at gold. Take a look at a chart of gold. And you can use a ETF for gold, GLD. And that is a good chart based on the price of gold movement. If you look at a one-year chart, just look at a one-year chart, you see that it's been moving sideways for a year or a little less than a year to up with some pretty decent volatility, by the way. But it looks like it's moving sideways. And, of course, the last few weeks it's been moving up sharply. So they're probably putting in a floor. Okay? It is probably the time commodities have been not been doing, they did okay last year, 2017, but they have not been nearly as strong as the overall market. So we're probably going to see sector rotation. I can't tell you exactly when, but maybe it'll be in 2018. I think that's a possibility. The global demand for gold is rising. Imports in India rose 67% in 2017. Imports to China for gold bars rose 40%. So, and on top of that, you look at the production of gold has been falling. Production, in other words, mining, miners. The production has been falling where huge demand coming from Asia, India, and China is rising. Now, cryptocurrencies have not affected one way or another. Do you see how high Bitcoin went? It really didn't affect gold. What will be more effective is the dollar. Is the dollar get stronger, or is the dollar going to get weaker? Which way would it go? Okay, a weaker dollar would be supportive of gold. And I don't know if you noticed, but so far the dollar in all of December fell. It was weakest, the low was in September. Why is the dollar falling when our economy is going stronger? Because you can't, remember, it's always a comparison between our economy and other economies like EU and Japan. What are those economies doing? Those economies are finally getting stronger too after being weaker than ours for some time. So, you know, it's all a relative thing. So those are some reasons why it's possible that gold in 2018 might be a good investment. Possible. Not probable. Well, I think it's better than 50% possibility. Let's put it that way. So can you say probable? I don't know if I can. Let's get back to our 24-hour listen line anytime, anywhere. 888-99-CHART is the number.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Love the show. Just had a quick question for you about semiconductors. I know they've had a big run in 2017 and now the first part of this year. Wanted to get your opinion on whether or not you think it's too late to looking at like a 12-week trade on either Micron, MU, or Lam Research, LRCX. The fundamentals on both companies look great. Wanted to get your take on both, if possible, and whether or not you think now is an appropriate time to buy. And if so, what buy points would be for those companies? Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Well, on Micron Technologies, I think this is the buy point. I do. You'll see that it has moved up all last year, and then it fell just at the end of November, and then started to rise again in January, fell again to the low of about 40 just recently, and then the last 3 or 4 days moved back up sharply. So that looks like a W pattern to me, and it looks like as a momentum, I think the momentum is still behind it, and this is where you would buy it on a momentum basis. Now, on a fundamental basis, it's also cheap. It's going to make $8.61 next year, and it's a $46 stock. Okay, that's cheap. And a five-year range, PE, 5 to 70, great return on equity is 37%. So I think it's a good, solid, inexpensive tech company. You don't find too many of those these days. You just don't. I noticed back in 2016, when the stock was around $12, $13, ton of insider buyers back then. They made a very good deal. They're over 300% return for those insiders. Got to watch the insiders. Sometimes they're very good. And you want to watch for insiders buying, not selling. Selling does not help you much, but buying is important. Okay? Buying means they're not, remember, they get stock options and stuff, and then if they do, and they also buy it in the open market, you know they think it's cheap. David in Tiburon. How you doing, David?
Pretty good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good. Appreciate the call.
Question for you. I have a fairly good-sized position in Chevron CEX.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's been hitting its 52-week highs here. More like last year. And I just wanted to get your take on whether this is a selling point, a holding, or a buying point.
I wouldn't sell it. This is CEX, everybody. Chevron. Big oil company. Everybody knows them. And do you know, have you ever heard the strategy called Dogs of the Dow? Dogs of the Dow.
I've heard the term, yes.
Okay, what that does is it looks at the bottom 10, the highest yielding dividend yielding stocks, the 10 highest yielding dividend stocks of the Dow 30. And you buy those 10 and then readjust it every once a year. And Chevron is one of the 10. Not because the stock is cheap. It's because their dividend yield is 3.4%.
Right.
Okay. So that's pretty high. And their sales growth is accelerating this most recent quarter. And their earnings are accelerating up 37% going to be next year. So I would definitely hold on to it, David. I would not sell it unless it's too big of your portfolio. You want to do some portfolio adjustment because it's dominating your portfolio.
Right, right.
That's the only reason.
I appreciate that. And then also, what I wanted to ask you is how do I meet up with you to get
a
look at the portfolio?
It's pretty easy. Just you can go to investtalk.com and just put it. There's buttons all over the place that says contact Steve or contact me. And just click on one and say, give me a call. When can I talk to you? That's it. It's pretty simple. Send me an email. I'll answer you. I promise. Any of those ways. Thanks, David. Excuse me, everybody. You're listening to Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART is our direct number. 888-992-4278. That's always the same number for any questions you might have. Okay, pluses and minuses for the stock market in 2018. I'm talking more fundamental pluses and minuses. For instance, here's some minuses. Okay, the Fed is hiking interest rates, and the EU and the Japan are tightening as well. So money liquidity, the liquidity of money sloshing around the system is starting to shrink. That's a negative for stocks because, remember, just the opposite was very positive. All this money flowing, it flows somewhere. Another one, and I've talked about this, a normal correction for the market is long overdue, and that would be at least 10%. The market is stretched. It's stretched. Another problem, inflation. We have full employment. Economy is picking up. GDP is picking up. It's going to be interesting to see in tomorrow's unemployment number if wages are started to accelerate, wage increases. The Fed is going to have a close eye on that, but they're not really concerned with that. Inflation hasn't really been a problem. How about North Korea? What if that blows up in our face? How about the trade war heating up? I mean, we don't have a trade war, But Trump has been talking hard about renegotiating things and America first and all that stuff. That could be pretty, a lot of headwind for the stock market. And of course, then there's the old, good old politics. But what are some of the tailwinds? The momentum of the market is up. It's been up. It's still there. Until that momentum changes, you stick with the market. You go with the momentum. The tax cuts, that is going to put a lot more money in people's pockets. They're going to spend it. Corporate profits are going to rise. Corporate profits are going to rise significantly because they're getting their tax cut. Everybody's getting their tax cut. Don't listen to the politics. Most people will get a tax cut from this new law. And what if the government does pass, if Democrats and the Republicans get together and pass an infrastructure bill? Or what if the Republicans pass it on their own? They have the votes if it's 100%. So there's some pretty good headwinds and the tailwinds. So you got both headwinds and tailwinds going here. Which one's going to win? And because we have both of these headwinds and tailwinds, headwinds and tailwinds in effect for 2018, I think we're going to see a little bit more volatility. We've had very little volatility in stock prices last year, 2017. We should see a lot more going forward. Let's try to answer one more question before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART is our 24-hour number.
Hi, my name is Elias. I just wanted to call and get your assessment on Baidu, B-I-D-U. I'm thinking of buying it. I was wondering if now would be a good time to buy, and also what your value is on it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Now, of course, we all know, well, maybe we don't all know, but Baidu is a Chinese company, provider of internet search, targeted online advertising, and other internet contact services. They're the Google of China, Google. And they've had a decent pullback from 275 all the way down to 230, which is, you know, pretty decent. And today they're at 245. They're starting to come back. So this would be the buy point if you wanted to buy it. It's starting to move up again. Now, is it cheap? No. But it's not also super expensive. Their growth rate in sales have been accelerating recently. They did have a soft spot in the middle of 2016, but in 2017, they're starting to grow again. So they're going to make $9.58 and a $245 stock. So what is that, 25 PE or so? And the range is 16 to 41. Return on equity is okay at 15%. So it's, you know, from an overall market point of view, it's not a cheap stock, but it's not super expensive either. And as a, on the chart basis, it looks like it based for a couple 3 months going sideways is now starting to move up again. So this would be the buy point area. Baidu, B-I-D-U. It's the Google of China. I don't know. I think this is a good place to buy it. Just broke above all the moving averages. This would be the place I'd buy it if I was going to buy it. Okay, it's time to wrap it up, everybody. A reminder, if you're not near our California offices, I can meet with you via Skype or telephone to a, you know, for a one-on-one retirement portfolio review. David in Tiburon asked about it. It's really easy. Also, I will be in San Jose for individual meetings on February 7th. So if you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thank you for getting together with us today. And let's do it again tomorrow, Friday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.